Hola, bienvenidos a la cuarta temporada of our bilingual podcast, ¿Qué pasa Midwest?
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 Telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland.
Costa, ríos y valles, la tierra es para ti y para mí.
This season, we're staying on top of two major topics, the census and the 2020 elections. This episode comes from outside the Midwest, pero decidimos hacerlo because everything that happens at the U.S.-Mexico border affects the entire country, incluyendo el Medio Oeste. It affects our environment, our economic status, businesses, jobs, you name it. Por ejemplo, in an interview with National Geographic, the attorney who heads Defenders of Wildlife Conservation Program said that whatever they built is going to be destructive to the natural habitat. También, with Mexico being the third largest trading partner of the United States, many fear that this could create a trade war. And stories of farmers forced to let crops rot due to labor shortage have become more common. So yes, what happens at the border affects the Midwest. In this episodio, our collaborator Angela Gervasi tells us how the U.S. government came to a Mexican border town and put barbed wire without notice or permiso, how the residents están resentidos, and their recollection of how the border used to be when walls and wires didn't separate them. Escucha esta historia de inmigración.
At night, Nogales, Arizona is peaceful, especially around the holidays, when the downtown is decorated with soft Christmas lights. Nogales is a community of about 20,000 people. You can hardly get anywhere without a car. It feels very much like a small town. Throughout the year, the city holds festivals celebrating American and Mexican holidays. The 4th of July, El Grito de Independencia, Día de los Muertos. Families gather, kids run around. Vendors pour icy horchata and high school mariachi bands play trumpets, violins, guitars. Then there's the other side to Nogales. Nogales, Sonora, just south of Arizona. The southern counterpart of the two sister cities is louder and much more chaotic. There are pink, red, yellow, blue houses piled on every possible surface of the hills. The city overflows with bars, nail salons, more taquerias than you could ever comprehend. Nogales, Sonora sprawls into Mexico with a population of at least 200,000, except the city grows so quickly that nobody seems to know the real number. Some estimate that it's a lot bigger. Tiny Nogales, Arizona, and sprawling Nogales, Sonora. There's no natural barrier between the two towns. The Rio Grande doesn't even reach this part of the U.S.-Mexico border. There is, of course, a fence. The fence. For more than a century, the U.S.-Mexico border fence has divided the communities of Nogales, Arizona, and Nogales, Sonora. But in ambos Nogales, crossing the border is still a part of everyday life. Crossing is so common that you'll hear people refer to it as going across the line. My name is Angela Gervasi, and over the past couple years, I've spent months in ambos Nogales. In this episodio, we're going to talk about concertina wire and how it affected some members of the Nogales community, including its mayor.
See,
sí. Oh my God.
I'm going to show you the caritas because I think that's where the change is.
I'm standing in the Pimeria Alta Historical Society. It's this cute museum about two blocks north of the U.S.-Mexico border. I'm on the Arizona side, talking to Sigrid Maitrejean. Sigrid spent her childhood in Nogales, Arizona. And right now, she's digging up these old black and white photos to show me what the border fence used to look like. In some photos, Sigrid points out, the border is hardly a fence at all. No hay nada más que una garita. A little gate.
See? Wow. Just a little fence.
So tiny. When Sigrid talks about this border of the past, you can't help but notice the nostalgia. Today, crossing the border can mean waiting in line for hours, presenting all the right documents, answering a round of rapid-fire questions from customs officers. But when Sigrid was a teenager in the 1950s, she didn't even have to pull out her passport.
You didn't even think of it really as crossing. You know, you went to lunch across the border, or you went grocery shopping across the border. People in Nogales, Arizona during World War II didn't have as many problems with rationing as other people did, because they could cross the border and buy coffee and sugar and stuff which was not rationed in Mexico. The border was more open physically.
Sigrid would cross to Mexico to do normal teenager things. Go out to lunch with her friends, buy a soda. Crossing back into the United States was almost casual. In fact, a lot of the customs officers knew Sigrid.
After a basketball game or something, we would go across the line. The guy on the line would say, "Sigrid, do you have permission to go across the line?" I'd say, "Yeah, my mom knows." By the time I got home, my mother would have had a call saying, "Did you know that Sigrid is taking the car with a bunch of kids?" So it was a very different atmosphere. It was not so much an international border to us as it was a border between two parts of the town we lived in.
Sigrid is not the only Nogales resident I've met who talks about these simpler times. There are others, like Fernando Parra, the superintendent of the Nogales Unified School District. Like Sigrid, his life is rooted in both the United States y también en Mexico. As a teenager in Arizona, Fernando went to high school football games, bonfires, drive-in movies. But sometimes he would cross into Mexico for the disco clubs. That's where Fernando and his friends would listen to Fleetwood Mac and watch music videos on MTV. It was, after all, the 1980s.
You know, it was a constant. I grew up in a situation where you could go across the border and have lunch and come back and be back in 10 minutes, and or go shopping and vice versa, or go visit family, or go out for dinner and come back. It wasn't, you know, where you have these huge lines that I mentioned now of traffic, and you hate to think about it. You really have to have a reason to go, because you're going to avoid that 5 hours, 4 hours of waiting there.
As Fernando mentions, the fence over the years has become more of a physical barrier. Then, in November of 2018, something strange happened in Nogales, Arizona.
From one day to the next, all of a sudden, we start seeing that they're putting up the wire. And so that kind of came up like without any notice or anything. It was just all of a sudden.
The National Guard showed up. The military had been in the area for months, but this time they brought coils and coils of concertina wire. That's the kind of razor wire often used to secure a prison or a military base, not a town of 20,000 people.
And we started saying, well, they don't have anything else to do. So they say, they figured, they sat there probably in their office and they said, what can we do? Oh, let's put fencing. What the hell? They were not being used for any purpose. They can't do anything else. I mean, they were just sitting around.
Then the following February, the National Guard came back to Nogales with more wire. They continued covering the fence until there were 6 rolls of it. Nogales wasn't the only town to get this razor wire treatment. It was popping up in Douglas, Arizona, San Diego, California, Brownsville, Texas. By the time I met Fernando, that wire had been up for months, but he still talked about it.
We sarcastically said, oh, well, they needed something to do. So then they put one roll, then we see another roll, and then it's like, really? That many do you need? And then that's why sarcastically said, in case they miss the first one, you'll catch them on the next one or what? And once that went up, we figured that it wasn't going to be temporary, that was pretty much a done deal. The city council, the mayor, they all went up. We were very outspoken about it and changed, but, you know, there's really not much I don't think they can do or anybody can do.
When the wire went up, the city of Nogales, Arizona, actually fought to have it removed. The city council voted unanimously to condemn the concertina wire. The mayor, Arturo Garino, threatened to sue the U.S. government. And today, that concertina wire is still firmly in place in Nogales, Arizona.
They don't like it, basically, because it is not the way we've lived. We have not lived with a barrier like that. It's not even like the barrier in El Paso and Ciudad Juarez, which is a river, or the barrier between San Diego and Tijuana, which is a great big wide open space. This is next door. This is not across a mountain or across a river. This is next door, essentially next door.
The wire was implemented as part of a larger initiative in which the Trump administration sent thousands of troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. But there's no proof that the wire has been very effective for Nogales. According to the Nogales International, a newspaper based in Nogales, Arizona,
the wire has injured at least one person climbing down the border fence.
But in the past fiscal year, hundreds of migrants have been apprehended at the border in remote parts of the Arizona desert, miles away from Nogales, according to a report from U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. So when you look at the statistics, it's difficult to determine what the concertina wire has done for Nogales, Arizona. Pero in Mexico, something different is decorating the southern side of the border fence.
A mí me gusta como el desierto, pero pintarlo con mis colores pasteles. O sea, puse como las montañitas y todo eso, moradito, rosita, y colores como turquesas, todo eso.
Antonio Lucero is a graffiti artist who goes by the name Tony Plaque. He decorates Nogales, Sonora with large, colorful works of art. The murals are absolutely huge. He'll climb under a bridge on a scaffold and paint animals, mountains, saguaro cacti. Soon, Tony started painting the border fence too. He wanted to turn it into something different.
En sí es embellecer el muro, o sea, pintarlo de otra manera, o sea, como en sí borrar el muro pintando cosas buenas. O sea, quitando la imagen de que es un muro feo, corrosivo, rojito, feo, pintarlo y darle color. La finalidad es como borrarlo con pintura.
By the way, Antonio decided to call his project Dreams Across Borders.
Como Nogales, many other border towns experience the abrupt changes every day. Pero los que estamos en el medio del país no lo vemos hasta más tarde, or we may never know about these stories. Gracias a nuestra collaborator, Angela Gervasi, for producing this episode from Nogales. Our song for this episodio is Esta Tierra Es Tuya by Sones de México. The song title translates to This Land Is Yours. Originally, Woody Guthrie wrote this song in the 1940s, at a time where migrant workers from the Great Plains were being displaced by drought and the Dust Bowl. They were traveling and looking for opportunities for a chance to work and feed their families. Gracias por escucharnos. Don't forget to follow us on social media for more and behind the scenes. Soy Paola Marizan, and this is ¿Qué pasa, Midwest?
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 Telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland.